This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise. This week on Sea Change Radio, we sit down with the founders of three innovative companies in the home energy efficiency space. First, we speak with Danny Kennedy of Sungevity, an Oakland-based firm that sells home solar installations using satellite imaging technology. Then we talk to Steve Malloy of UtilBill and Recurve's Matt Golden. Our guest today on Sea Change Radio is Danny Kennedy, the founder and president of Sungevity. It's a remote solar design and sales company in Oakland, California. He also has worked for Greenpeace, both in California and in Australia, working on projects that helped create the California Solar Initiative. Danny's also the founder of Project Underground. It's a human rights organization that works around the globe, or has worked around the globe, with indigenous communities fighting oil and mining interests. Danny, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
First, tell us a little bit about what makes Sungevity different than what your average solar company might be.
Sungevity is your one-stop shop to go solar online. So the difference is we do most of the work over the internet, including remote solar design, meaning that we can engineer a system using satellite and aerial photographs on the web. So we don't have to go to your house to create a proposal for you to understand your solar options. The other big difference is that we provide a customer finance solution that allows you to buy a system with no money down. So we basically make it really easy and affordable for customers to go solar across California. Jump on the website, sungevity.com, fill in your address and some other details, 24 hours, get a quote. 24 hours after that, you can click to buy electronic signatures and you get your lease signed and sealed and suddenly have a solar installation coming your way.
And can you tell us a little bit about how GPS technology has enabled Sungevity to offer these services remotely?
So we've kind of broken the mold and no longer require a site visit out to your house, because we built a software mashup which takes satellite images you're familiar with from Google Earth, for example, the top-down right-angle orthogonal images, and we cross-reference those to aerial photographs from north, south, east, and west of any home. And then with that, we build a three-dimensional model of the home so that we can engineer a system according to the length, width, pitch, and azimuth of the installable area on that roof, which is what someone would do physically if they were designing a solar system. We just don't have to roll a truck to go out to a house to generate a quote. We can do that in a short period of time, turn it around to the customer in an interactive proposal over the web. About 80% of the OECD countries now have these aerial photographs that make up the angular photos that we need to do the trigonometry to get the angles on your roof and make the correct performance calculations for a PV system, photovoltaic system. Currently, we only serve California, but we're spreading our footprint quickly. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, our mission as a company is to scale solar to every roof that can have it. And that's most roofs, actually. It really makes sense economically and environmentally for most households to have a solar system. We can sell it from here, from this call center here, without having to have like a ground force of sales staff in every town sort of thing. You know, that's going to take too long to get it out there. But if it's a simple web-based over-the-phone proposition, kind of like downloading Netflix or ordering your next book from Amazon, we assume that the adoption will be much faster and we'll actually be able to scale the solar solution to climate change. That's the whole purpose of the company.
Can you tell us a little bit about the evolution of the company?
Sure. We came together in 2007 to start this company, basically to respond to this need for a more efficient channel and marketing business. You know, there's a lot of great marketing companies in the big manufacturing and commercial and industrial end of the solar industry, but there's not a lot of efficient, scalable business models to get it out to middle America, you know, to every roof in suburbia that should have it. So we started in 2007, raised some money, built this software, which was really our key kind of secret sauce, if you like, and then launched the business in 2008 on Earth Day as the easy, affordable online solution to going solar. We've grown very quickly since then. Just in 2 years, you know, we've grown to about the third fastest and largest residential sales company in California, which is really the American market. 60%+ of the US market is here in this state, and you know, have 500 happy customers kind of thing. So it's great to be able to do that. We now have 75 staff here in Oakland. And the exciting news is, you know, we're scaling rapidly into this sort of mass adoption phase. You know, we're going from novelty stakes as a cottage industry to ubiquity, because we will be on every roof that can have solar within a decade or so. All the drivers are there: cost, climate, political will, consumer preference. All that exists now. It's just that we've got to have business models that can deliver at that pace to fulfill millions of systems. And, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot when you hear iPads sold 2 million units in the first 60 days or whatever, but this industry, the solar industry, has only done something like 100,000 homes in California. You know, so it's going from very low bar to incredible penetration in a decade. That's the challenge before us.
Stepping back almost a decade to when you first got involved in the renewable energy field and trying to highlight some of the inequities that are created by our addiction to fossil fuels. Can you tell us a little bit about Project Underground?
Sure. Project Underground was a human rights organization dedicated to supporting communities fighting oil and mining projects. So really egregious cases of abuse by Shell Oil in Nigeria, for example, or Freeport-McMoRan in Indonesia, a gold mining company that had famously colluded with the Suharto dictatorship in Indonesia to repress an indigenous community and get access to the gold there. We did the kind of classic human rights documentation work to try to raise awareness of those struggles and get justice for those people in their sort of environmental and human rights struggles.
Can you summarize real briefly what happened in Nigeria and with Shell for our listeners?
Famously, Shell, you know, since the 1950s, has been producing oil out of the Niger Delta. Very haphazard production and development of the oil resource there. You know, a spill on par with the current Gulf spill and the Louisiana coastline has happened there several times over, over the decades. And particularly in the 90s, local communities started to organize against Shell and tried to get greater royalty streams and rents from them and or to shut down their operations in some cases. For example, in Ogoni Land, which was a kingdom in southern Nigeria, there was massive repression of those people by the military dictatorship. Their leadership was executed through a kangaroo court. A guy called Ken Sarawiwa, who was quite famous, was executed in 2004. And there were massive reprisals against the community for organizing a civil disobedience campaign against Shell, which Shell supported in many ways, that we documented in our work. And we also worked to get the refugees from that struggle who fled into neighboring countries, relocated as asylum seekers to countries like the United States and to Europe, which we successfully did. We call them the shell-shocked refugees. You know, lots of struggles like that. Sadly, there's a litany of those pretty much wherever oil goes. There's a history of anti-democratic, anti-human rights efforts by those that benefit from it, as well as the environmental devastation that oil wreaks and the climate change that it's causing. So, you know, lots of good reasons to get off oil. My life path over, you know, a couple of decades has been trying to raise awareness of those problems, but also trying to demonstrate that there are solutions. And that's what Sungevity is all about, making it easy and affordable to adopt clear solutions to that, like solar power.
Well, I noticed that the Sungevity CEO is a former BP solar executive. So there's deep pockets coming from these oil and gas companies, and they realize that there's opportunity in renewables. How do you see the two worlds colliding ultimately, or fitting together?
Fitting together. We have to. We're all together on this spaceship Earth and not going to get off it anytime soon. And, you know, I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said something like, the greatest way to vanquish an enemy is to make them your friend. And that's what the task of the 21st century is. You know, we made a mistake two centuries ago to become addicted to fossil fuel-based energy supplies. That has behooved us in many ways. You know, we've benefited from it here in the United States greatly, but it's come at a huge cost, which is the cost of cooking the planet and basically taking away the rights of our kids. And so we're going to get off it. You know, no question, a millennium from now, humans living on this earth will look back and go, what were they thinking for that two century mistake? You know, and whoa, they took a long time in the 21st century to get off that. But we will get off it because we have to, and we'll do it together. And sure, capital formations of all kinds are going to get into that wheel of economic destruction that, you know, Schumpeter and others have described. That's what's happening right now. We're destroying an incumbent technology set, which has too many cost burdens to bear, and we're replacing it with a new technology set, which are clean energy resources. And some of the companies that are going to be party to that change will include historic companies, and some of them will be entirely new. And there'll be a revolution in that turn of the wheel akin to the information technology and internet revolution of the last couple of decades. And it'll be on that pace. We'll be surprised when we wake up in a couple of decades and go, wow, it wasn't too hard. We got off that addiction to oil and coal because we had to, and that will come.
And it seems like one of the sad and ironic twists from this, the current crisis in the Gulf, the Deepwater Horizon spill, is that we can have as many of these Nigerian and rainforest episodes occurring, but until people who actually have access to greater media and who are part of the industrialized world, for lack of a better term, once they get affected, all of a sudden these issues get highlighted. So maybe this will be a touchstone for accelerating some of the kind of change you're talking about.
I think you're right. This earth of humankind is wrought with all sorts of double standards, and most of them affect people of the developing world, so-called, and the developed. And now that it's impacting our shores, it will be more deeply felt, even though it's been going on for years. That's true, and hopefully is a motive force for the change that we need to have.
How have you seen any direct link in the last month? Obviously, you're on a pretty rapid rise as a company in terms of sales, but have you seen a spike since the oil spill?
The consumer preference is already there. The latent desire to go solar for most middle Americans is probably ripe. It's just being offered the proposal that makes sense for them and getting it without hassle. You know, really the barrier to uptake now is making it easy, because it does pencil out. You know, it does make sense. You'll get a good return on investment if you pay for it with cash. You'll probably be cash flow positive if you get a lease. But changing habits, you know, the old habit of just depending on the utility that you were given by the regulated monopoly of the electricity grid, is hard to do. And change is what we're trying to facilitate, basically.
Speaking of leases, Sungevity has a unique leasing program that's, we've profiled the PACE program, but Sungevity has its own program. It's a 10-year leasing program. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
So as part of our commitment to making it easy and affordable, we wanted the best customer finance solution in the space. And we have that with a 10-year solar lease. And for no money down, you can get a solar system installed on your home. We own it. You pay us for the electricity generated by it. And you pay us a flat monthly fee, which we calculate right at the stage of the iQuote, the interactive quote we generate for you. That monthly payment will go up 2.5% per annum for the 10-year period, but it's a known rate of increase rather than the sort of electricity utility rates that tend to go up haphazardly over the years. And, you know, we think that's a much better model for payment. For most Californians, the amount per month is going to be less than what they currently pay their utility. That's a function of the output of the system, like where you are on Earth, how much solar electricity your system can generate on your given roof at its angles with its shade obstacles and so forth, combined with what rate structure you're on in which utility territory. But we calculate all of that. We work all that out. We give you a firm quote and calculation of those economics, and we stand by it. It's a performance guaranteed system that we'll maintain, we'll clean, we'll take care of for the 10 years of the lease. So it's sort of a no hassle guaranteed offering, which is in most cases something that's going to put 10 or 20 bucks in your pocket every month.
You're trying to automate the sales process a little bit, so it's a little easier for people to just press and click and purchase these solar systems for their home.
We're trying to have a kind of a call center-based operation here in what has historically been a cottage industry dependent on individual craftsmen going out to individual homeowners. And we're trying to maintain the high level of customization for the customer's needs at the same time as a mass enterprise that can get to millions of people. And that's a trick and a tension, but we think we're doing really well at meeting customers' needs with great customer satisfaction to date at the same time as growing a business rapidly.
That's Danny Kennedy of Sungevity. Now let's hear from Steve Malloy, whose company UtilBill helps homeowners improve their energy efficiency. Tell us a little bit about what UtilBill does.
So UtilBill is a residential energy management company, and our goal is to really help homeowners minimize their spending on utility bills. So we walk into a homeowner's house and within an hour to an hour and a half, try to determine the 3 to 10 things that'll significantly reduce their bill. So we typically look at both efficiency measures and also renewables and what will give them the optimal outcome in terms of reduced bills. What we do is we conduct a 1 hour diagnostic, and what we do is we look at everything in the house. So we will look at, for example, what type of lights do you have? We will look at what type of insulation you have, what type of windows, what type of heating and air conditioning system you have. We'll look at the ducts. We'll look at the water heater, basically all the ways that you consume energy. And then what we do is post our assessment is we run it against our energy model, and we identify what are the best options and most efficient options for each of those different alternatives. And then we evaluate the costs of those, including how much does it cost to install the equipment, what are the associated rebates and tax credits, and what are the future price assumptions for energy growth. So we try to model out really what are the things you should change and what are the things that actually will cost you more than they will save.
And do you know, in terms of competition, how many competitors might be in a typical metropolitan area?
There are a number of people who will do energy efficiency audits. I think annually in the United States, a couple 100,000 audits are typically performed a year, and they're performed by private companies. They're performed through utilities and folks that utilities hire. So there's a couple 100,000 throughout the United States performed every year, the energy efficiency audits. The core issue that we're trying to address is that very few of them present in a prioritized way what are the things you should do in your house. So the key thing we're trying to do is identify things and prioritize them based on a return on your investment and say, lighting has 1,000% return on investment. It's certainly something you should do. Changing a pool pump can be have a very high return on investment. And prioritizing all the way down the line towards things that may not save you as much money. We talk about all of those type of things regarding, what do you set your heat at? What do you set your cooling at? How often do you use the lights, the television? We talk about all those type of things in the audit. I think from a standpoint of behavioral change, there's a company called O-Power located out of Washington that's been involved a lot in around behavioral and energy efficiency. And one of the things they do is they work with utilities to send out an insert that basically says that you use a lot more energy than your next door neighbor. And what they found is that just by getting that insert and understanding that you use more energy, you save about 2% of your bill. So you start using less in your house. So I think that suggests roughly what the behavioral amount can be. Maybe it's 2 to 5% in your house. What we see when you do core retrofits in your house is often you can save 50, 60, 70% of the energy in your house. So if you were doing things like putting in more insulation, or you're changing a pool pump, or you're putting in solar, those things can lead to dramatic reductions. Whereas I think the behavioral would be more in the 2 to 5, maybe under 10% range, just because it's not going to impact it on the overall that much one specific action. You have to do large scale things for it to be more than 5%, I would assume.
Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind creating UtilBill?
The inspiration for us is that when we look in California, and specifically in Sonoma County, which is where we started, the top quarter of folks spend $300 or more a month on their utility bill. And when you look at that specific number and you look at the economics of a home, in most cases for those folks who spend more than $300 a month on their bill, we can find about $1,000 a year in savings. I mean, I think the core issue in California is that the utility prices are increasing at a huge rate. So the in those five tiers, the bottom two tiers are growing maybe 2% a year, but the top three are growing between 13 and 18% a year. And so you really see right now that folks are waking up to the fact that their energy bills are very high. And if you show them a clear path of how they can reduce their bills, they're motivated to act. So we are quite successful in getting into houses and getting homeowners to actually act.
What's a typical engagement entail for a homeowner who hires UtilBill, from making that first call or email to finishing their home to where they're pleased with it, and they start seeing an improvement in their energy bills.
So effectively, we conduct our audit. It takes between an hour and a half to go through the house. 1 week later, we will come back and we will give the results of the audit.
And so you're getting paid by the vendors or from the individuals?
Yeah, our business model is to get paid on referral fees. And effectively, what we're trying to do is cut out the sales and marketing costs for all the folks that we work with. So, you know, certainly HVAC folks, plumbers, pool people, solar companies all have a cost of sales associated with giving with getting business. We effectively remove that by giving warm referrals to those companies.
Steve Malloy, co-founder of UtilBill, that's UtilBill.com. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Alex.
Next, we hear from Matt Golden of Recurve, a leader in the home energy audit and green energy remodeling space. Welcome to Sea Change Radio, Matt.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about Recurve and what you do that's different from an individual who might come and audit your home for energy renovations?
Well, so Recurve is a six-year-old company. We're about 70 people, and we're an integrated company. So we both do the energy auditing and the retrofitting work. So within the company, we have a whole team of auditing professionals, and then we'll do everything from insulation and light bulbs right through high-performance heating and cooling systems and even renewables.
What problems are you guys solving?
So as an operating company, our customers have multiple issues that they're dealing with. Obviously, heating and cooling bills and energy bills in general that are getting a lot more expensive as we move forward, and oftentimes out of line with their neighbors. So helping them save money is an obvious one. But also, people really care about, of course, the comfort in their house. And so that bedroom that never quite got warm enough, that master bedroom that's, or master bathroom that's really, really hot, the drafty living room. A lot of times we think we have to live with these issues, but these are actually engineering problems that we can solve. And it turns out that the same issues that cause that uncomfortable room are also the same issues that are costing you energy. We also deal a lot with air quality issues. So some of the statistics that stick out in my mind in a lot of houses, somewhere between 15 and 30% of the air in your house started in your crawl space with all that musty nastiness down there being drawn up into your house. We deal with asbestos ductwork and all sorts of kind of things that you don't want to be breathing in the building. And what we find with our customers is it's usually a series of issues. Even if they called us because their energy bills are too high, you still have a room that's uncomfortable, and you didn't even think about the fact that some of these same issues that we're solving might have an impact on your daughter's asthma.
So what are some of the things that a homeowner might be able to do to save in terms of the long term rather than just buying services from the lowest bidder?
You know, there's this propensity within the remodeling industry to always push for the cheapest and the fastest, which has resulted in an industry that's really tuned to deliver just that, the cheapest. But if you look at categories, especially things like insulation, there's a study done in California that showed that because of installation defects, insulation in California was on average operates about 50% its rated value, just because it wasn't installed perfectly or correctly. And the same is true with HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems. You say you want a high, you call your HVAC company or your furnace guy, right? Because you're uncomfortable and your bills are too high, and you say, I want to be efficient. What do? They turn around and sell you an $8,000, 96% variable speed furnace, but then they attach it to your 40% leaky ducts, which is very common, and you have no attic insulation, and you wonder why it doesn't show up on your bill at the end of the day. You don't see much improvement. Or same thing true for things like windows. You know, you see advertisements for 30% savings on your energy bills and the likes, when in reality, in most homes in California, 30% of your bills aren't coming from windows in the first place. And so even if you brick them over completely, that we wouldn't be saving 30% of your overall bills. And so it's just some misleading and misguided advertisements. It's really entrenched in how we think of our buildings. And so what we're trying to do is get people to move away from thinking about individual products as a solution to thinking about systems. So if you're trying to save money on your heating bill, it's not just your furnace. It's a combination of how good is your house at keeping the heat in? Do you have good insulation? Are you leaking a lot of air? How good are your ducts at getting the air to the right rooms and the right amounts? And in California, about 30% of the air that goes through ducts on average leaks out. which is a huge, huge loss. And then how efficient and how properly sized is your equipment? It's the sum of those things, plus how you operate it, that results in how much energy you're using. Fixing any one piece of that is not going to have a huge impact. And so that's kind of the whole systems approach. And then what we want to do is within that, think about kind of a loading order or a step-by-step approach to the measures that we undertake. So you start with the building fundamentals. You know, you don't start with the solar panels or the fancy furnace. You start with what we call building fundamentals, which are these simple steps that are the most cost-effective steps you can take. Things like air sealing your building so you don't have air leaking out. And a lot of that is actually between your house and your attic where you don't see it. Windows and doors is what you think about first, but most of it is actually up. In newer homes, it's really complicated construction, so you'll find all sorts of kind of chases and voids where there should actually be sealed tops on wall plates and the likes. In older homes, you'll find it's been rewired, replumbed, the cable guy was there, they're drilling holes and things, and they're turning your house into Swiss cheese. And so your warm air, you blow all this warm air in your house, it rises, it scoots out the top through all the holes, and it pulls in air from the crawl space to replace it. Not really what you want to have happen. So you're losing energy and you're also causing an air quality problem. So you want to do things like this. So the first step is the building fundamentals. Do things like insulation, air sealing, duct sealing, retrofitting of your lighting, looking at your old junky appliances, the basics. And we usually find there's somewhere between 20 and 40% of your total energy consumption that's just being straight up wasted. So this is like simple steps. You save this money. You improve you actually improve the way you feel in your house. Straight waste. So once you reduce the load, then we want to look at things like your furnace and your air conditioner and your water heater. And what we're finding is that oftentimes you have a 100,000 BTU furnace in your house. Your load was only ever six. Usually those are twice as big as they ought to be to begin with. But after we reduce the load, it might be four times too big, which is also why it's noisy and uncomfortable and everything else. So we put in a much smaller heating system in your house, uses less energy, is more comfortable, costs less to install in the first place. And now you've got this house that has used a lot less energy, might be 50 or 60% less energy if you do it right, and is more comfortable and has better air quality. And then is the third step. So we go fundamentals, major systems, and the third step is renewables. So that's things like photovoltaics, solar electric, solar hot water, even some wind, these sorts of things. But you do that after you reduce the load in the house. We don't want to put 6 kilowatts of very expensive solar on the roof with these huge government subsidies. And have 3 of those kilowatts leaking out of your ductwork on a hot day as air conditioning or, you know, incandescent light bulbs burning all that expensive energy up. We might want to install, after we do the retrofit of your house, 2.5 kilowatts and accomplish the exact same thing with a lot less on the renewables front, which is the most expensive. And so that's kind of the progression. And every project that we do in home performance kind of follows that basic approach. And if you do things in the right order, it means that you're never going to get in a situation where you have to go back and fix something you've already done or change it. And you always get the best cost benefit.
If you're an entrepreneur in waiting in Illinois or somebody who wants to retrofit their house where recurve services aren't offered, what would you tell them?
In order to find a contractor doing what we do, I would actually direct people to the Efficiency First website, and there's a member section. You could look it up by state, and we do have there are companies that are home performance contractors in every state in the country, and that list is growing rapidly. And if you're looking at a business opportunity, this is a massive opportunity. If you look at the scale of this industry, we're going to be in the multi-billion dollars in a very short period of time. And there's a lot of opportunity. You know, there's opportunity to actually do the audits and do the work. There's a lot of entrepreneurial opportunities to build businesses in this space. And there's a lot around the margins as well, training and all sorts of things. So I think there's a tremendous amount of business opportunity. You know, we're creating economic growth in a decimated industry sector. So these are also high skilled domestic jobs, both in the retrofitting and in manufacturing. Really, manufacturing is 90% domestic. We've done some analysis. And so these can't be outsourced and they tend to be high skill. So these are kind of good quality long-term jobs. And then of course, there's a climate benefit and the obvious energy efficiency benefit when we start addressing, you know, these existing buildings that are using such a large amount of our resources.
That's Matt Golden of Recurve. You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our theme music is by Sanford Lewis. Additional music by Alex Wise. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.